Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Suggested.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson. Welcome. And I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikers. And Chris, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing good, having a few technical difficulties. Not a problem, though. But, man, you know what? I learned something today, Jer. I found
out. What's that?
You know, people are always saying that you can't actually change people, right? Like you're just wasting time going out and, you know, making comments or talking to people because you're not going to change their mind, right? But I learned today, believe it or not, after talking and looking and engaging with some people in the comments on Facebook, believe it or not, I have completely changed my stance on the Ukraine war.
You have?
I really have. Yeah.
Oh.
After two people in particular, I should say, after talking with them, I'm now all for a full-out nuclear war. Just roast all of us. Let's just get this shit show done with and hope that the next race of humans can be better.
I don't know what's going on, man. I'm so confused. I'm trying to look it up right now, but Donald Trump went off today on Ron DeSantis, and holy shit, this just gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier.
Not a very smart move on his part.
Well, you know, there's two ways of looking at this. There's a lot of people that support Trump, and they back him 1,000%. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people that like Ron DeSantis, including people that are more in the middle of the fence, your swing voters, let's call them that, that really like Ron DeSantis and are not fans of Donald Trump. This could be bad for him. But depending on, I'm trying to find his statement that he made apparently today. But there are some accusations thrown out there about Ron DeSantis, and I don't know. I you know, he said that Ron be sanctimonious before, right before midterms,
right.
And people were really, really, really pissed off about that too. And politics, it's dirty, man. It's it's dirty from the left. It's dirty from the right. It's dirty in between.
I can't see any scenario where him attacking DeSantis is going to help his campaign at all.
Better no, because yeah, I would agree with you. Simple fact that you know people are looking for a strong, unified Republican Party. And when you start dividing the party from within, all you're doing is giving the Democrats an easy in to the White House and an easy win to Congress and the Senate. There was some, you know, we're talking about a red wave on Tuesday. And, yeah, did we have a lot of Republican wins? Sure we did. But nothing compared to what everybody claimed there was going to be.
Right. The only thing in Florida for every state office is Republican now. DeSantis won by, you know, 20 points and actually managed to flip Miami-Dade County red for the first time in two decades. So he's out there. Yeah, he's out there setting records. Yeah.
No reason to
attack.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like when I see Trump doing that against DeSantis, I'm thinking to myself, what's your move here, Trump? Because Trump's always got a move. Oh, he always has a move. Like, I've been, you know, after I quit being a hater and started, like, paying attention to what he does, I've really found out that guy, he's always got an angle at something. It's just trying to figure out what his angle is. You know, I'm sure the left, we know what his angle is. He's, you know, whatever. I get so sick and tired of that. They don't even try to look past their nose or what the media tells them. I want to get inside the head of Donald Trump, and I want to understand what his mindset is, where he's going, why he's doing this, why he's doing that. This whole Ron DeSantis thing, it's confusing the hell out of me. So I have a theory on it. Excuse me. Get the cough all of a sudden. My theory is, Ron DeSantis met with, I believe, Mitch McConnell and, what the hell is that guy that used to be the House in from Wisconsin? What the hell is his name? Paul. Not Paul. Is it Paul? You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's escaping me right now.
Yeah, I got a brain fart. Anyway, Paul Ryan, there we go. He met with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell is obviously what I would call a deep state establishment politician. When people say, you know, it's Republican or Democrats, in my opinion, Mitch McConnell is part of both groups. There's an establishment, a group of politicians that have been in office and have made so many contacts throughout the years that it's two parties that claim to be separate from one another that are meeting in the back room after the press meeting briefings and smoking cigars and drinking scotch together. That's who we're dealing with here with Mitch McConnell. And Paul Ryan, I believe, is part of that. So when you have a guy like Ron DeSantis talking to these establishment politicians, it makes me wonder if they're the ones that are responsible for keeping him in power, getting him in power. In my opinion, I think Ron DeSantis's policies have really helped him continue the reign that he's had because of his whole, we're going to keep Florida open, we're going to, you know, it's freedom and banning this gender reassignment bullshit and all that stuff. But I'm like, my mind has just been going a million miles an hour since Tuesday, and especially since Trump said that, and now I'm trying to read up on what Trump is saying about DeSantis now, and it's just like, it's everything is so confusing to me right now that my mind is blown. And the biggest confusing part I have, Chris, is how in the hell did Pennsylvania elect John Fetterman? And how the hell did they elect that governor, whatever the hell his name is? He's already said, the governor, that they're going to shut down fracking and energy, gas. It's same policies Biden has. It's exact same policies. You try to warn these Democrats that when you continue to vote for these Democrats right now, especially right now, the Democratic Party today is not the same Democratic Party it was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago or beyond that. This is a whole different party now. This is a socialist/communist party. And they don't seem to get that or understand that. This party now will do anything at all costs to retain their power. And we're seeing that now with the elections. Again, question mark in Maricopa County. Of all counties, if you're going to cheat Democrats, you probably should do it in a different county than what you were accused of doing it in 2020. And now you're seeing what Katie Hobbs is doing. One county, rural county, wanted to hand count the ballots, and she sued them, stating that's against Arizona Constitution and law to hand count ballots. It's got to go through the computer. Well, why are you so insistent that they go through the computer? Why not have a double-check system? Why not let the computer count them and then hand count them, see if there's any discrepancies? No. So they were stopped from doing that. But anyway, there's so much to talk about, really is. What are your thoughts of this whole Pennsylvania thing, man? That blew my mind.
I don't know. Part of me is starting to wonder if all the Twitter bots that got taken down actually left Twitter and went out and became registered voters, because I don't know where the hell the Democrats are getting these votes that they're getting. I can't imagine that you could just sit and hit sledgehammer over and over and then hand them a ballot and say, here, vote for me. And they're like, okay, here, I'll vote for you. You know, so you could just go back to hitting them with a sledgehammer again. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand it.
I tweeted that out the other day. I said, it's either the Stockholm Syndrome or it's a massive cognitive dissonance. Either way, like, I get, like, hardcore Democrats. You think the Republican Party is the devil. I used to be that Democrat. I used to be that Democrat where I looked at the Republican Party as truly straight-up evil until I started to look at myself in the mirror and realize that I supported pro-choice. And when I started getting explained what that really means, what is an abortion? When I watched an abortion a video of what actually happens, you have to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror They literally go inside and rip a perfectly healthy baby apart limb by limb with tongs. They crush their skull. They rip their arms off, their legs off, and drag that out of the body. That is what an abortion is. An abortion is not a pretty thing. Now, I don't want to sit here and act like I'm holier than thou and I've never done anything wrong, because I've done plenty. I'm just going to admit to you where I've come from and where I am today and what I used to believe into or believe in and what I believe in now. Abortion is one of the most horrible things I have ever seen in my entire life. And at one time, I supported a woman's right to choose. And now today, there's only very few certain instances that I, and I'm still on the fence on that. I still go back and forth. Is incest and rape are two instances where I believe the woman should have a choice. But then again, that baby didn't get a choice in either circumstance. And so that, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with that phrase or that stance. It's something that I literally go back and forth with every single day of the week and wonder what is the right thing to do there. You know, is it okay to just kill a baby that has no choice just because a woman was raped or a woman had, you know, was a victim of incest? I don't know that. I'm not the woman. So it's hard for me to come up with a stance on that, those two aspects of it. Where I can tell you where I stand firmly now is that I am not pro-choice. I am pro-life. And women that use abortion as birth control should be ashamed of themselves. And I'm not going to judge them per se. I am, but I'm not. At the end of the day, they're going to be judged. You know, we all have face of judgment day, and believe me, I have a lot to answer for myself. But I'm hoping that we can wake a few people up, a few young women or even older women that have believed this whole pro-life thing or pro-choice thing their whole lives. You have a choice before you have sex. You can make the man wear a condom. You can have birth control. You can there's a million different things that you can use or do to prevent yourself getting pregnant. And when you go into a one-night stand or a relationship and you have an unwanted pregnancy, you made a decision. And part of that decision is you're responsible for whatever the outcome of that may be. And by you saying, well, I'll just get an abortion, that's not okay. It's not okay. You know, I know it's a touchy subject, and I know there's probably people that would like to jump on here and just start screaming and yelling and cussing me out. But just like everybody else, and just like an airport with airplanes, I have an opinion, and so does everybody else. I'm not going to sit here and try to force my opinion down your throat, but I am going to tell you what I feel or how I feel about it. So that's just one of the few things that I just don't understand why we're not fighting more for a baby that has no choice. The women yell, it's my body, my choice. Well, what about the baby that is inside you? Isn't it their body? Do they get a choice? Or is it just about you now? I know. It's crazy, Chris. I know people don't like to hear the truth, but that is the truth. Any thoughts on that subject?
Well, I think they get a lot of people to support it based on the notion that, you know, the fetus is just a clump of cells, you know, and that they really think it's just some inanimate clump of cells, and that, you know, an abortion is just pulling this clump of cells out and, you know, cutting off the blood supply to where they die off, and I don't think they realize. Most people haven't. I know the video you're talking about. I've seen it as well. It is a brutal procedure, and the fetus actually attempts to fight off the instruments that are attacking it. At a certain point, the fetus is self-aware, can feel pain, and can hear, in addition to having a heartbeat. And I think once it can feel pain and is self-aware, I really have an issue with abortion at that point.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at, too. Before the elections, I've seen a lot of things coming up about Democrat politicians that were supporting abortions up to 28 days after birth. They really wanted to make this legal. Now, I want people to understand something. When, as a man, let's just say you're in a relationship with a woman and she's pregnant, and you're one of those assholes that beat women, and you punched your pregnant girlfriend or pregnant wife, and the fetus died. You get charged with murder for that. So why is an abortion okay and not murder, but something like that is a murder? Because the mom decided that she wanted to keep that baby and was going to keep that baby? There's some hypocrisy there that I'm not understanding. You know, this is a subject I really didn't intend to get on tonight on the show, but we're talking about Democrat policies and the craziness of that with involving transgender and gender reassignment. When I just seen a Hopkins University psychology professor come out and call it for what it is, and we talked about this numerous times on a radio show, that transgender, that whole ideology is transgender people are mentally ill. And I've said this numerous times, and I'll say it one more time, and I'll probably say it another million times. I don't hate transgender people. I have a big problem with what, let's call it quote-unquote normal people, trying to normalize it and trying to enable them with their mental illness rather than getting them the mental illness, psychiatric help, there we go, that they obviously need. I don't know. Maybe tonight was, I told you earlier, I was tired and I thought, geez, maybe we should just give it a rest for 1 week. But I guess my head has been working overtime, especially since the Pennsylvania, the vote with Fetterman, with a guy that had a stroke. And again, when I say this, I'm not trying to put the guy down. He had a stroke. It happens to people. Where I have a problem is the guy is trying to represent a state in the United States Senate, which ultimately affects his vote, will ultimately affect the rest of us with legislation. So I obviously have a problem with letting a guy that has limited mental capacity right now, at least in the form of being able to communicate or have a debate, I have a problem with that. If you're not 100% capable of representing not just your state, but the United States of America in Congress or Senate or anywhere else in public office, take the time off that you need until you are ready. That's all I'm saying. You know, if he come back after a short period of time of rehab or whatever and his speech was back on cue and he's able to have a conversation and cognitively have a reasonable debate, and you voted for him, okay, you voted Democrat. All right. It sucks for guys like me that don't like the Democratic Party or their policies, but okay. You know, that's okay. But you voted for a guy that can't have a conversation right now. He can't, like, he cannot form a sentence correctly. So there's obviously some issues there yet that he needs to work out. And people have called me many, many, many names in the last week. Well, since Tuesday, I should say. Because I've pointed that out. Oh, you're just such a, you're a ignorant asshole, and you're this and you're that, and I can't believe people like you. People like me, looking at it from the point of view, from through the glass of, are you not fucking seeing it for yourself here, folks? Or is it just you're so blinded by what the media, like, jams down your throat? I don't understand it. But, you know, here we are. He's according to them, he's been elected. The funny thing that I found out about this, though, with that election in Pennsylvania, which they had some issues over there, too. Fetterman received 52% of his votes came from mail-in voting. When did we start normalizing mail-in voting? Why can't people go to the polls? Like, I get if you're like, my mom and dad had mail-in voting because my dad has stage 4 COPD. He's not very mobile. So I understood that. But my mom, she's perfectly healthy. You know, and I'm not criticizing them for doing what they're doing because that was a choice that they were gifted. But why is that a normal thing now? When our forefathers came up with the rules of voting, I do believe they said voting will be done in one day because they knew if it took longer than one day that there was going to be cheating because there was cheating back in the 1700s and there's going to be cheating in 3010. Cheating is a normal thing because people are corrupt. It's not isolated to one period of time. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, despite, you know, all the people running around saying that, you know, mail-in voting is safe and secure, you know, the parakeets. We've become a nation of parakeets. You know, the television box looks at you and says something, and then everybody runs around repeating what the man on the television told them. Not too many people have any original thought or, you know, any type of critical thinking skills, seems like. So the actual fact is, no, mail-in voting is more subject to fraud. There have been studies from around the world in recent decades where it was abandoned because of fraud issues. And, of course, the media won't tell you that. They'll tell you the exact opposite. I mean, everybody runs around repeating what their television told them because no one ever bothers to fact check the television, you know, because if it's on TV, it has to be true. The media never lies. You know, and other big lies you've been told. That's why they are trying to normalize the mail-in voting. I do believe that is a much easier system to rig in your favor, and I think one side is more prone to doing that than the other. So that's just my thoughts on it and why it's so, I think, so popular now, especially in blue areas.
Yeah, and why we're seeing discrepancies in, like Arizona. We're going to get to that in a second. Before we get to that, why don't you, it's been a half hour into our show. If you're listening, go take a bathroom break real quick or listen to the 30-second ads I'm going to play real quick, two of them, real quick, and then I'm going to give you the guest call-in number. So if you're listening through the link that I shared out or any of us shared out, there is a guest call-in number. You can call in. You can have your voice heard on the radio show, and you can say it live and uncensored. You can say whatever you want, as long as you're not rude and disrespectful. And we welcome people with opposing views. Let's have a conversation live on air, and we truly welcome that. So with that being said, we'll take a quick one-minute break, and then when we come back, make sure you have your pen and paper handy, and I'll give you the guest call-in number.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
Yeah. Well, I said 1 minute, but and I don't know why this happens to me every single effing time when I want to find that the other 30-second trucker. There it is. I finally found it. I can never find it. It just drives me nuts. But here's the other 30-second part.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
And I actually use, so you just heard two commercials, one from Bolsnot. They have a whole line of cleaning products. You don't even have to be a trucker to use this stuff. This stuff is awesome. I've used their product, the Visible, and it's basically a Windex, but it's not Windex. I mean, it's better than Windex. You spray it on your window, one swipe, there's no streaks. They got good product. And Trucker Tools, I use their app also. You can find loads, truck stops, everything on there. They're both of them I strongly endorse. So let's get back to the guest call-in number, if you're listening through the link that I sent or any of us shared. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. Now, we have a lot of listeners in Canada and America and other countries, actually, Australia, all over. We welcome a call from any of you, and tell us what's going on in your countries or your cities. We'd love to hear it. It doesn't even have to pertain to what we're talking about. If you got something to say, just jump on and let's start a conversation. We're always free to move around. If you do call that number, and again, that number is 516-387-1733. When you get through, make sure you press the number 1. That lets our switchboard know that you would like to get on air to share your thoughts and opinions. So let's move on. I wanted to mention something too, Chris, because I watched Pierre Poilievre, I think that's how you pronounce it, up in Canada. And he was going to do a press conference of some sort, and some reporters started yelling, and Pierre said, you know, you've got to look outside of mainstream media because they're not going to tell you the truth. They're not going to tell you what the politicians really are saying. Right now, what people need to understand, for the most part, is that mainstream media is very leftist ran and funded. That's a fact. And I know that people, they don't want to believe that. They want to believe their trusted news sources. But it's funny, when I get on social media, I'll dip my foot in the water of controversy or dip my foot in the water of trying to trigger somebody lightly or piss them off just a little bit, just to see what their response is. And 9 times out of 10, I get the same talking point from different people, which tells me that they are, in fact, mainstream media watchers that are getting their talking points from mainstream media. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I am no genius. I am by far the smartest person you've ever met. I'm not by far the smartest person that you've ever met. I suck at grammar. Sometimes I suck at talking also. And sometimes I stutter getting through a sentence just like Fetterman and Biden combined every once in a while, just not as, quite as bad as they do. But I do know that once I quit watching mainstream media about 2 years ago, my life has changed dramatically. And I was going through Netflix one day, and I ran across it. I had free news. I could watch the news. It's like, oh, I got to see what's on here because I canceled cable, quit watching that shit. So I started watching. I was in 3 minutes into that, and I was screaming at the TV, you fucking liars. I was screaming at the TV. I lasted for about 6 or 7 minutes, and I was so freaking mad because everything, it's all an agenda. They're all pushing something. The COVID was on freaking 24/7. Fear-mongering you and gaslighting you and brainwashing you because you still have people that are begging for the mask mandate to come back. I mean, that's how fucking ridiculous this has gotten. What's your thoughts on the mainstream media, Chris, and what Pierre Paul Rivière said about going outside the box and
that entertainment industry with no obligation to tell you the truth, the whole truth, or any part of the truth? Very seldomly do you see them held accountable like they were with the case of Nick Sandman. But I think it's gone beyond that. We're starting to find out now, especially with social media, that it appears the government has more or less taken control of the media. So, yeah, it's no longer just a private company trying to sell controversy. It's now being controlled. The government is back there telling them what stories they can run and what they can't and what their talking points are. And, you know, they did that with a lot with the COVID stuff. I don't know why I can't talk tonight, but yeah, I can't imagine believing anything that the mainstream media puts out there. Every once in a while, when I turn it on, knowing the things I know, I'm like you. Like, I can't handle it because they're just sitting there, just lie after lie after lie, twisting facts around, taking things out of context, completely making shit up. And it's aggravating.
Knowing that people are too lazy to go do their own research. How are we going to fix this mess, Chris? If people continuously watch the news, like I argue with my mom all the time, Mom, quit watching the fucking news, please, 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 I beg you. I don't watch it. I don't watch it to get my politics. I watch it for the feel good stories. But as soon as we talk politics, it's the same talking points that I get on social media. What she doesn't understand is I'm on social media quite often because I have a lot of time sitting, loading, and unloading, and I have time to do some, what do you want to call them, experiments, so to speak. People that know me know that I'm not a cruel, heartless person that I may come across to be on social media. I've changed a little bit in the last 2 years, ever since I quit watching mainstream media. I started doing more research into what the hell's going on with our society. The mass hypnosis formation, psychosis, is one theory that I really, truly believe in. I do see that we have a caller on. And before I get on with the rest of what I was going to say, I always like to get the callers on because I want to hear a different point of view than what I have. And let them ask their questions and get their voices heard, too. So 4409, if your numbers end in 4409, I'm going to add you on to the live broadcast right now. And you are on air. And who do we have tonight?
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Chris. How you doing? This is the old school Reaper off of TikTok. I wanted to touch on your subject there with Pierre Polyev. I'm calling from Canada, by the way, so I'm right on board with you. There's a couple of things I wanted to bring to the forefront here, seeing that you brought Pierre Poilievre to the light spotlight. Now, the thing is I found this a little bit ironic from what you were saying there earlier about, you know, propaganda and mainstream media. Okay, there used to be a time when everybody depended on the mainstream media for the truth and facts. And our social media, surprisingly enough, I mean, it was nothing more than a bunch of drama and BS and people just, you know, I don't know, trying to get a little bit of attention. But ever since the convoy, whether it be ours or yours, it seems that the tables have turned now. So now people turn to social medias for the truth, and obviously the mainstream media is the bullshit. It's ironic how that table turned.
Yeah.
But
that's a good observation.
Well, this is something that came about here at the Emergency Act Inquiry just this week, actually. And I found it just a little bit strange and somewhat questionable because they started bringing up information that they had acquired through social media, such as Facebook and Twitter. And obviously they brought in news sources from other countries. And this was brought into the inquiry. And I found it a little bit strange, like, why are you questioning information on social media as opposed to mainstream media? Like, there's something that's not connecting here where the inquiry is gathering up this particular information and presenting it rather than bringing up their information, say, for like, CBS News, ABC, Global News, whatever. I found it a little bit strange that the inquiry has turned their attention to social media rather than their own so-called propaganda liars. So that was touching on your subject there. But I want to put a twist on this because just this week, our crime minister, Mr. Trudeau himself, okay, he was in Laval, Quebec this week, and they broke ground for a new pharmaceutical plant which is being built up here for Moderna. And I don't know if anybody's paid attention to this or how much attention it's gotten on the news and such, but I thought I would put this out there because this managed to click into my head. Why would you be putting up a massive facility into Quebec out of all places? Like, I mean, it's one of those hardcore lockdown controlling freaking provinces or states, whatever you want to call it, cities. So apparently this manufacturing plant is going to 100 million doses of suicide juice per year. Now, when you think about it, Canada's population is only 38 million. And that's almost three times as many doses per year to the population. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, you people are not paying attention here, what's going on. If this plant that they've already broken ground on is being built and the focus of this plant is the suicide juice, and this is being done by the crime minister himself, this pretty much tells you straight out, if your eyes are open, that he's not going away. This juice ain't going away. It's going to be an ongoing issue for God knows how long. Now,
see,
I don't know how...
I think you hit the nail on the head about something here. people's eyes are not open. They're not correlating things. They're not putting two and two together. Two and two is equaling 3,052 to these people right now. They're not connecting the dots. And what you brought up here, I didn't know this, by the way. Okay, so they started making assisted suicides legal in Canada, where a child doesn't have to, the parents don't need to be notified. Loved ones do not need to be notified. If a depressed patient, rather than getting the prescriptions that they need or the help that they need, decides, I just want to die, they're going to give them their wishes and let them basically commit suicide with the help of the Canadian government. Now, one thing that just popped into my head, when you told me that they're going to make 100 million doses in Canada, first of all, anybody that doesn't know who the World Economic Forum is or who Klaus Schwab is or the 2030 Agenda or the World Depopulation Plan, Alex Jones talked about this in 2002, like 20 years ago, and he That's was right. spot on. They are yep. normalizing assisted suicides right now, as we speak. With the transgenderism going on around U.S. and Canada also, or the, not the transgenderism, I should see the gender reassignment pushing for it. They're causing major mental illness. Number one, number two, when they're making 100 million doses of this, this isn't for assisted suicides. This, I think, the deeper plan is if you go against what their agenda is and what the narrative is, they're going to put you in these camps. They've got them already built. They're called Green Zones right. in America, and I'm not sure what they're called in Canada, but they are there. They're fully operational, and hell, Washington State had an advertisement out asking for people to come and apply for the job. I know they're all over the United States. People don't even understand it. I do believe
here in Canada, as far as I know to date, we've got four, what you want to call, they call them quarantine camps, okay? There's four of them that I'm familiar with so far, and I know that there was a couple more being built. Much further out. I mean, there's one up in the North Bay area that was being built. I don't know if they've completed or not, but I mean, they started on that, I think it was last year. Anyways, so there's more of them being built across Canada. At the present moment, I think the biggest facility that they've got right now is the one in, I can't remember if it's Saskatchewan. I think it's Saskatchewan. Was the biggest one that they had built, which was already in existence, by the way. And this facility is freaking huge. It looks like something that you would see out of a World War II movie. I mean, like back in the days of, I forget the name of that movie, Hogan's Heroes. There you go. but anyways, so, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. So you've got nowhere to run. You've got nowhere to hide. There's no bushes or trees or any kind of camouflage that you can disguise yourself or camouflage yourself in order to get away from this place. And it's got fencing around. It's like 12 feet tall, okay, with this barbed wire on the top. So once you're in there, I mean, you're in there, period, done, zilch. But this is just another portion of what you just said. One way or another, they're going to get their agenda. They're going to depopulate, whether it be through the suicide juice, whether it be through the assisted suicide, whether it be through sterilization processes, whether it be through our chemtrails and food and everything else that they're freaking contaminating around us. But one way or another, they are going to accomplish their goal of depopulation. That's a fact.
That's correct. And furthermore, I want people to understand, COVID-19 wasn't a pandemic. they inflated numbers. They did everything they could to make it look like it was a pandemic. And a lot of you, oh my God, yes, it was. I'm not saying that COVID-19 doesn't exist. Part of the deaths of COVID-19 was remdesivir, and we've talked about that. What I'm trying to tell you is COVID-19 wasn't a pandemic. It was a test. They wanted to see who was going to push back, and they wanted to see who would comply. And now they know who's going to push back for the next pandemic, or should I call it plandemic. And if you do not comply to their vaccination, mandatory vaccinations, or whatever mandatory bullshit regulations or unconstitutional or whatever you want to call it, mandates that they put in place, they will start enforcing people going to these concentration camps, I call them, or re-education camps, whatever you want to call them. You will start going there, and when you go there, you're not coming back out. This is Nazi Germany on steroids times 10. This is going to be
times 10.
We're like, yeah, at least we are in the beginning. Well, no, we're not even in the beginning. We're in the middle stages of the world's largest. What's the word I'm looking for here? Mass genocide.
The world's mass genocide
in the history of world. In the history of the world. And we're trying to sound the alarm for you folks to wake up. The same people that voted for John Fetterman, that's the party that is pushing this. Now, I'm not going to tell you or sit here and tell you that I don't think that there's dirty Republicans, because there's a lot of them. But I call them, at the beginning of this show, establishment politicians. And they're on both sides of the fence in America. And in Canada, Klaus Schwab bragged over 50% of your parliament is WEF compromised.
Exactly.
Am I right on that?
Exactly. Oh, actually, I think the latest information was over 60%.
60%.
Yep.
Like, if you're listening from Canada right now, I want you to really listen to that number. 60% of your parliament are compromised. 60%. Now, I know that number is very large here in the United States also, but I've been keeping a very close eye on Canada, and as a matter of fact, our producer is from Canada. Canadian Chip Kim, she's here.
Yeah, that's right. But here's a question if you want to put statistical numbers together, okay? You have to look at the United States and Canada in comparison by population within the government, okay? Your White House, your governmental democracy, I think you have, don't quote me on this, I think it's somewhere around 340 members within the White House.
Congress is a little over 400.
A little over 400? Okay.
Yep,
now,
Congress, yep.
Yeah, 412 or something like that, I think. I'm not 100% sure of the numbers, okay? But now the population, okay, the U.S. population triples the population of Canada, and yet we have 338 members in our parliament. So by comparison, why do we have so many compared to the U.S., which has somewhat comparable members to a much greater population? Why is that?
My guess is because you're compromised. We know you're compromised. We have 435 members of Congress. And we have also 100 senators. And then we have all the federal agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the ATF, everybody, the Department of Defense. If you want to start adding up, the government agencies,
not
a shit ton of people.
Yeah, but no, not the outside sources. Okay, not the outside authorities, not the outside sources, just the members of Congress only, which would be equivalent to our parliament.
Right. Yeah, and you guys have a population of, what, 30 million in Canada?
$38 million.
$38 million. We have approximately 340 to 360 million people a year. So, yes. Yeah. That's a very good observation to bring up and a very good question to ask, what's really going on here?
Yeah, because when you add up the statistics of 60% of our parliament, okay, at 338, 60% of those are compromised. Now, that's 68 compared to, or I should say that's 60% compared to your 438. I mean, that's a big difference.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. I see one second here, if you don't mind. I'll keep you on the line here. I just wanted to add on that Daryl Gibbs, who just recently ran in the Colorado the Colorado elections as for lieutenant governor, he has joined us. He is live on air. I got your mic on too, Daryl. And why don't you go ahead and say hi?
Hey, how you doing, my man? How y'all doing?
Hey, good, brother.
How you doing, America?
Good, good, good. Good to have you on. I want to add your opinion or your thoughts into what we're talking about here. But first, let me go to Chris because Chris has been patiently waiting, and I know Chris has got something to say about all this. So, Chris, without further ado, let's start with you, and then we'll go back down to Daryl, and then we'll go back to our caller.
Okay, what are we on? Disproportionate representation between Canada and U.S.?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Has it always been like that, or did they suddenly start adding seats recently in Canada? I don't know the history there. What is the history?
What is your history there, yeah?
Well, actually, it's been pretty dormant for a lot of years. Mind you, there has been a number of seats that have been added in the last decade. So, like I said, there has been a number of seats added in there. But still, in my opinion, I mean, it's an excessive amount of seats, which are wasted space as far as I'm concerned, considering the fact of what we pay in taxes. I mean, to support these people to have a good night's sleep. And meanwhile, their positions, I mean, are basically useless. And now, I don't know if you realize this, but just in the last month here, our prime minister decided that he's going to be opening up a new agricultural force in the West Coast. And this particular force is basically a policing force to go around and attack the farmers. So they're attacking them for their land, their crops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, making sure that they basically follow the carbon footprint type BS. But anyway,
control the food supply.
Exactly. So, and of course, I mean, they're going to have the full force of the same idea as what you do with your IRS. Now, all of a sudden, the IRS gets to carry guns down there, whereas before, that was never, it was never a discussion. But all of a sudden, you've got, like, what is it, 88,000 new members, I think it is, that are entitled to carry guns in the IRS. Like, since when do you need guns to do taxation forms and inquiries? But this is the same idea with us up here with this new agricultural police. Now all of a sudden it's a policing force, which why are you having a policing force to have guns that have a huge building, which has, again, detention rooms, it has interrogation rooms, it has ammunition rooms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, this is like a full-blown military institute that's being put in the middle of nowhere to go around and policing all the farmers. So, again, like I said, our Congress, our Parliament, you know, in the last decade has increased in numbers, but at the same time, there's also these other identities that are popping up along with them, And once again, up goes the taxes and down goes the people.
Yeah, that's it's very clear what they're doing. It's everything that the World Economic Forum has said they're going to do. But go ahead, Chris, in response to that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's bad when you know the playbook and you can recognize these events all coming together and you see what's happening and it's so obvious. And then you just sit there and you beat yourself up because you just don't understand how in the ever-loving hell people don't see what's happening.
Because it goes back to they're too lazy to do their own research, basically. I mean, they literally believe everything the mainstream media tells them, and guys like us that have a radio show that speaks the truth every single week and warns them, they don't dare listen to us because I can't stand listening to those guys. A bunch of misinformation spreaders, and that's what they say. They literally say that. Daryl, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, number one, this ain't nothing new. Because if y'all remember when they were closing down Air Force bases and they were saying, well, we're trying to, be peaceful with the UN, and then started changing the bases to an earth tone color. And then, okay, and here's another thing. All right, you have FEMA. Why, you're on Obama, why is FEMA being weaponized also? FEMA's there to assist on storms and stuff. They don't need guns and bullets. So the only thing they did now, they're going from FEMA, now they're going to the IRS. And then if you look, and like you said, this wasn't a pandemic, and this was planned. Because we have never, ever, ever, tell me one time have we ever masked up during any kind of crisis of something that we didn't even know about. Zero.
Actually, the FEMA camp that you just mentioned, Gerald, that's a freaking huge, huge, huge eye-opener, because FEMA camps are all over the U.S., everywhere. And
see, some of those FEMA camps are Air Force or military bases that they close, because you know that they close the military bases like hotcakes. And that's and the reason people are not noticing this, like you said, the pandemic, that was a test. They were testing to see how many people are just going to blindly comply like they did, like sheep, and like a lot of people did. And now they're looking at, okay, now we can even press any further. Because now you have Joe Biden, he's up here messing with their currency. He wants to go because you got China, they're going to digital. So now they're trying to get Biden, which who's compromised as hell. He's talking about, of course, going to digital. To go to digital, then now they control what we have. So they can say, well, you don't need this, so we're not going to give it to you. And a lot of people, they're not understanding that, because now they're so hooked on, well, am I a man or am I a woman? Am I binary or trinary? Am I this? Am I that? I mean, stupid stuff where we look at it, it's like, okay, you're a man, you're a woman. Okay, you're a man, you feel like being a woman, you're dressed up in drag. Okay, so what? But now they have so much attention going to all this stuff, and then our kids being taught this perverted crap from grade first to sixth. They got our minds on all this other stuff, and they made it to a point where if you have two people in the house, you're too busy working instead of paying attention to what the hell is going on. There you go. I mean, they're trying to do all these things at the same time saying, hey, look over here at the stupid stuff that we're doing, but they're even doing dumber shit on the other side because a lot of people can't see that, or a lot of people, they're just too damn compromised, or however you want to put it, that they've been so brainwashed that they're thinking, like, instance that Joe Biden's doing a great job. Okay, who in the hell thinks Joe Biden is doing a great job? You definitely are brainwashed, or you got some brain damage, because he ain't doing a damn good job.
Okay, Daryl, can I pick your brain on something?
Go ahead.
Okay, since you brought up Biden and his cognitive state.
Evil cronies.
Yeah. I got to ask a serious question here in regards to a new bill which he basically implemented here, which is what they call the Nuclear First Strike Agreement. Are you familiar with that?
No, that I am not familiar with. The Nuclear First Strike Agreement.
Yeah, apparently he brought out some kind of, he made a statement, and it was this was brought up within the United Nations conference where Biden had signed an agreement for what they call a first strike nuclear strike or nuclear attack, which if the United States was to assume, and quote my word when I use this, if they are to assume that a foreign country is to promote a nuclear war or enhance a nuclear war or create havoc of nuclear disaster, the United States is entitled to first initiate a nuclear attack prior to any advanced assumptions of a nuclear war or an oncoming war. And
well, what they're saying is they can strike first and enable someone else's weapon system. Like you said, if they're capable or they're getting ready to start a nuclear war. So that they're doing the wording, so they're saying that, well, we're going to go after their weapon systems to not so they can't start a nuclear war, but then basically we're starting a nuclear war.
Exactly. Exactly. And in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, this is just my own opinion. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, it's a totally wrong agreement. I mean, this agreement should never even been brought to the table. Why would you allow yourself to be the first striker of a nuclear arm when you're just assuming that there's going to be a nuclear attack from another foreign country?
Look at Biden. He's compromised. He's always been compromised.
Oh.
That's why the news decided, okay, we're not going to air what his crazy son was doing, because then the whole world knows this man is compromised and he's going to be in danger. They're talking about Trump. They should have been talking about Biden, because now his policies, because he's so compromised, he's letting China do whatever the heck they want. You have Russia being stupid, and then also with what's the other one that we've been talking about? Who Russia attacked?
Ukraine.
Crimea. Ukraine. The Biden, him and his family, their hands are so mixed up in this. It is pathetic. And the same thing with some of our policymakers. Look at Nancy Pelosi. When Biden did the fake thing, you're not supposed to go over to Taiwan, but she does it anyway, because she's helping her best interest because she and her son has money dealing with the uranium that is there, which is, close to getting depleted. And so if you look at everything that's going on, it's because we have so many people that are career politicians. They're so damn corrupt. They're letting all this crap happen. And basically they're trying to cover their ass with it. And that's what's going on. Basically, this is what's going on right now with everything that's going on with China, Russia, and everything, all this craziness going on. That's what they're doing. They're covering their ass. And also dealing with this currency. They're covering their butt. Now, hopefully, whoever's going to be our next president, they're going to turn around and say, you know what, all this mess we're doing, we're not doing this crap. And the World Bank, you need to figure out something else. We're not doing this currency going to crypto. Because once it does, the American dollar is done. We are done. Do you think any of these people, Nancy Pelosi, and any of these people that all you people are rooting and hollering for, do you really think that they're going to stay in the United States what they're going to do, all you people sitting up there, and nothing against you folks who wants a battery operated car, but you're thinking, oh well, I'm doing, you know, this to save the world and this and that. No, you're not. The only thing is, they're giving you the shiny part, so you don't see the negative part of having a battery operated car. And when the world goes to shit, when the United States go to shit, you know what's going to happen to all these people that you're backing up? They're going to get in their nice gas JP4 and everything else powered jets, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to just go ahead and leave the fuck out of the United States and go someplace else because they took your money and said, thank you very much for not opening up your eyes and being and doing all this stupid stuff.
Well, seeing that you mentioned China's infiltration there, Daryl,
yes.
I don't know if you folks have been paying attention to this, but Canada, we've had three Chinese police stations suddenly emerge out of nowhere.
They're here in the United States.
Well, yep. That was going to be my next statement. I'm sorry?
New York City.
Yep,
New York City?
Yep.
So yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, China is basically, they're infiltrating the entire North America.
Yes, the Western civilization.
Well, look who's letting it happen.
Trudeau and Biden and the liberal, the liberal party is. But I got other things I got to get to. You're welcome to stay on. Would you like to stay on to discuss the next topic with us, caller? We're going to talk about the Arizona elections.
No, that's fine, Jeremy and Chris. I appreciate it. I just wanted to put something out there because I wanted people to understand that they broke ground for the new Moderna, and they need to understand that, you know, Trudeau ain't going away. This suicide juice ain't going away. And I just wanted the people to wake up and notice what's happening right in front of their face. So,
hey, thank you for sharing that information.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you for putting it on. And you guys have a great night. I'll sit on the sideline.
Have a good night.
Listen in. All right.
Yep. I appreciate it, man. Thanks. All right, that was a caller from Canada. We always appreciate it gives a different voice, and they share new information with us. I want to get to two subjects, and I know the Arizona one's going to be long, and so is the Colorado one, and I want to kind of finish the show out with the Colorado one, just because Daryl Gibbs, who's online with us now, is a new co-host to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, actually ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, and I want to hear what his experience was. But first, I got to get Chris involved here, man. That was a long dialogue between you guys, and that's good. I had no problem with that because I always appreciate a intelligent dialogue and calm informational dialogue, and that's exactly what that was. But Chris, let's go and Daryl. Let's go right to what's going on in Arizona. Before I even say what I got to say, I want to hear from Chris. And Chris, you got the floor, brother.
Oh man, so Maricopa County, what they're about to close down the counting for the weekend? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct.
Yeah, these delays and taking so long to count and. You know, they're going to close the counting down. Are they going to completely vacate the room and leave it guarded so that there's, you know, no ballots coming in or out? I have a funny feeling.
I can tell you this much, Chris. They did put up fencing around, and they have sheriff department guarding the facility, and they are armed on top of rooftops watching the facility. Just if that helps you with what you were about to say.
All right. That's interesting. You know what? I don't know how this is going to turn out. It's hard to say. I mean, the Democrats were kind of conceding that they were probably gonna lose the midterms before they got here, which kind of scared me, that in itself, that they were conceding before, because I don't trust them at all. And anytime they seem like whatever they're doing, I just always question what they're really up to. And so I don't know. I don't know if they're going to try to pull a fast one out in Maricopa, or if they're going to let the chips fall where they fall. I don't know. I'm waiting to see. I know Georgia, we're not going to know now. Their runoff is what, December 6th?
December,
I believe.
8th? Yeah, it is. December 6th.
December 6th. And then what's it going to take, 4 or 5 days for them to count that? So maybe we'll know who won Georgia before Christmas sometime. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know
well,
it's a drawn-out process now.
Look at what Nevada, the law in Nevada. Now, they can accept ballots all the way up until November 12th, I believe, as long as they were postmarked on or before Election Day. Like, what the fuck is going on here? I mean, seriously, are we going to allow this shit to continue? Like, the voting is on Tuesday. They call it Super Tuesday, right? Am I correct on that? I mean, voting's on always been on
correct.
A Tuesday.
Yep.
Why are we allowing this to happen before and after? And I get it with our military personnel. They're cross-seas. But everybody else, I don't give a shit. If you're too fucking lazy to get off your ass off your couch, especially you baby boomers that are retired, and you can't use your walker or your electric wheelchair or whatever the fuck you got, wheel your ass into the voting booth, to hell with you. You don't get to vote. Like, seriously.
Yep.
When did we allow all of this shenanigans to happen? It's Tuesday. I'm 45 years old, and I know you guys are older than I am, but in my 45 years, Election Day has always been on Tuesday. Why all of a sudden now are you so accepting? Well, it takes them a while to count the votes, and we got to mail in our ballots. No, bullshit. If you ain't in the military and you ain't in Okinawa at a military base, you ain't in Iraq, you ain't in Afghanistan, you ain't in one of our military bases, get your ass off your couch. Get away from the TV for a half hour because it's going to do you good. Trust me on that. Get your ass down to the voting booth and vote in person. Now, I get it. Again, I explained this earlier in the broadcast. There are people that have health problems, health issues. They just are unable to do that. But one of your duties as a United States citizen is get off your ass and go vote. That's why I really truly believe they should make it a national holiday, I know it's a requirement that they have to allow you to go vote, but make it paid. You get an hour to go vote. If there's a long line and you can prove there's a long line, you get paid for that too. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't tell me that these employers once a year, or not even once a year, once every 2 years, they cannot allow their employees to get off of work, go to the voting booth, and vote. Give them a half a day off if you have to. Paid. I don't understand why it's come to this. And especially since 2020. What is going on, Chris? Tell me.
Like I said before, you know, it's easier to rig the mail-in system. It's also easier to rig when you have computers and software involved in the vote counting process, as opposed to people hand counting with witnesses watching. And I think they're.
But why are American people allowing this, Chris?
Because their television told them it's okay. I mean, that's the sad state we're in. Whatever the man in the box told you is A-okay. My TV told me, so it's all right.
Darryl, what's your thoughts on this?
I was waiting for you to ask me, because you ready?
Yeah.
Well, number one, it goes back to our schools, because if you look at it, they don't teach the value of voting anymore. You know, there's just education system has eroded to the point where they don't. Where back in the day, where men were freaking men. Let me change that. Where men were fucking men. Where World War II and all that. They're like, you know what? When you're sick, what do men do? We get our asses up. We go to work, make that money, make sure our family's protected, handle business. And we got to cuss at you every once in a while, that's fine. If you go ahead and you threaten our family, we'll kick your ass. Now you got men walking around with man buns and wearing tight shorts and tight jeans, looking like a female wearing daggone rainbow crap. And so that's where we're at. There's nothing in our schools where it says, hey, you are a United States citizen. This is important for you to go vote. You know, just like that movie when we're fighting the bug. You want to be a citizen? You want to know how? Well, you had to earn your citizenship. Okay, here you don't earn your citizenship because you're born here. So now people are getting lazy. And now here we are, you know, up to date, where how come back in the day where you go in, you vote, and you do the little punch thing, then you have someone counting it. It was a lot quicker. We had it done. We got it done and over with. You didn't hear, back in the day it wasn't, oh, well, we got to wait 2 months before you know what the election is. No, they went on, they mustered through it, they got through with it the next day. Here is the results, or the day after. Here are the results. Now we're, like Chris said, we're in this technology crap where they can go ahead and manipulate things. But like you said, how do we get past that? Well, I tell you how we get past that. We need to quit voting for these dumbasses that will go ahead and says, hey, this is a great thing, and start voting for people that says, hey, guess what? We need to make a law where we're not using these stupid voting machines no more. We're going to start counting these things by hand. We have today is a Tuesday. We're going to vote on those days. Guess what? Only time there needs to be any mail-in crap is when, like you said, you're disabled, you're elderly, and you cannot get there, and you're military. Other than that, if your butt can get up for a baseball game and be up for a baseball game, go up there, be all up all night at the bar, or sit up there and see go to a movie, or sit back and wait in a long-ass line to go ahead and get somebody's damn autograph, then you can take your ass down there to vote. And I do believe, yes, you know what? Employers should go ahead and pay their employees an hour, maybe 2 hours, so they can get down there and vote. Or have it a half a day where you can get down there and vote. But right now, people are just so damn lazy. You know, and all this technology, you know, me personally, me and Danielle would have won. We would have there's a lot of stuff that would have been straightened out. These Dominion machines would say, hell no, get them out. You know what? We're going back to counting votes like we normally do. You know what? You go in the booth, fill in your circle, punch it. There you go. Have somebody count it. Let's keep moving, people. And guess what? You're going to have you're going to have an ID when you step up to vote, because that way we know it's you. And I would go ahead and put in fingerprinting. So then that way, guess what? We'll get it done. But right now, there's no reason, none, no reason at all. That's going to take so many months. You know, well, you know, we got both skilled talent. Well, then count the damn things. Now you got Arizona where they got to lock up everything and they got to wait. And then no telling how long it's going to be. This is ridiculous. It wasn't like this back in the day. People went up there. They got stuff done. Right now we're at a point where people are just, and I hate to say it, people are just too damn lazy. We need to get off this lazy shit that we're on and start voting for people that understands, you know what, it's called hard work. It's called getting up there and start doing things correctly and get rid of, because all this technology is not always good. And like my friend for the police department would say, all money you make is not good money. You have too many people that are hooked in, these congressmen and these people that are in our legislation. They're told, they got their back end on these damn Dominion machines and these voting machines, that of course is going to be corrupt. But then all of a sudden, if you start, just like Donald Trump came in and he started cleaning house. When he started cleaning house, that's when all these Republicans decided they want to start turning their back on him and start stabbing in the back like Caesar, because now you're messing with their money. And that's what all things come down to, because we have too many, again, it's linked to too many people that are career politicians that are getting their hands dirty with all this mess. And who's suffering? We are. We're suffering at it.
No, and you hit the nail on the head. So far, the voting count has stopped in Arizona for after the weekend, which I think is a bunch of horse shit. And I want Chris to weigh in on this, and you too, Daryl, and whoever else is on the line. If you are on the line and you want to talk and you want to add your opinion, just call in, and once you get through and you're listening to us on through your phone, just press the number 1. That lets our switchboard know that you want to get on air. And you're welcome to come on. We'll say whatever you got to say. In Arizona, Katie Hobbs is leading with 984,721 votes over Kerry Lake, who's got 962,836. So about a 21,000, 22,000 point difference. So she's winning by 2 points. DeSantis won by 20 points in Florida.
Right.
However, Florida put some no mass harvesting of ballots, and they put in a lot of different things in place before this election. So I don't know if that helped, and maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know. The guy that was running against him was former Florida Governor Charlie Crist. And in my opinion, that guy's a douchebag from hell. That guy is a career Democratic dipshit if I've ever seen one. Holy God. I followed him on Twitter up until about a month before elections, and I just couldn't take it anymore. The shit that come out of that guy's mouth was, ugh. But anyway, back to Arizona, and this is where I want Chris and Daryl to jump in here. Katie Hobbs is the current governor running against Kerry Lake. She's leading by roughly 22,000 votes. Maricopa County issues again 30% of voting machines rejecting the ballots. Who's in charge of the election process in Arizona? Katie Hobbs, as the governor, is in charge of the election that she's trying to win. Does that sound like a conflict of interest to you? And how the hell, if you're a fair and just federal system, state system, even if you're a Democrat and you're a Katie Hobbs fan, why are you not screaming from the mountaintops? Because if Kerry Lake was the governor and she said, I'm going to be in charge of the elections, you folks would come on fucking glued at the seams and you'd do nothing now. Because it's your side that's winning. That is so hypocritical. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's hypocritical. They'll totally support the fact that she's in charge of it now because it's their side. And as soon as that seat flips and there's a Republican in charge, they'll raise hell about it and will deny that they were ever for it before. Or they'll come up with some reason why, well, this is different. You know, people are very, we're just laboratory animals. I mean, we just, like I said earlier, you know, at this point, I'm all for the nuclear war and hopefully the next human race can be more successful than us. Just get it over with.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Chris just threw his hands up in the air, live on show. He just said, I'm done. That's exactly what he just did.
You fucking crazy man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
My priority is just making sure that there's like a bottle of whiskey or rum handy, you know, so that I can just pop the top off and drink while I watch the missile track across the sky.
I'm kind of with you on that. Yeah, just let me sit down, open up a bottle of rum, and I'll just sit there and As the nuke is coming in?
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
And take a sip.
Exactly.
Daryl, what's your thoughts, my man?
Man, you're right. You know, if this was a Republican, you have people screaming and hollering, trying to tear down walls, saying this ain't fair and da-da-da. But now, since it's a Democrat, you know, and she's in charge and she's running for governor, there ought to be people screaming out the mountaintop saying, you know what, no. We need to have somebody else who needs to be in charge of this. You're running for governor. You just run for governor. You're not in charge of anything. You know, and that's what they need to do, and they didn't do it. So I think it's bullshit. I think she's compromised. She's compromising the election. And, you know, like you said, if it was a Republican, you'll be hearing stuff on Fox News, all the news, and TikTok and everything else. How come this isn't even fair? And, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
It really is. No, it is. Arizona's now a laughing stock of America, along with Pennsylvania, along with the Joe Biden administration. Minnesota, they voted back in Governor Walz. Michigan, Whitmer, they voted back. I sat back and I looked on election day, like it wasn't even close. And I'm thinking, are you people really that blind and that stupid? Because they forget to remember that Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, New York State, many blue states inserted COVID-19 positive patients into our nursing homes, essentially killing nursing home residents. Meanwhile, told you that you weren't allowed to go in there to see your loved ones, and many of them died alone. I just watched a video I tweeted out yesterday where a grandmother was sitting in the nursing home, and her grandkids, great-grandkids or whatever they were outside the window laughing and waving at grandma, and grandma just broke down in tears in her wheelchair. Do you fuckers don't remember what they did to you? Do you not remember what they've done to us? But you went out and voted for him anyway? Governor Walz in Minnesota shut down small businesses, bars, restaurants. He shut everything down. Many went broke. They went under. And then he had the audacity to allow the world's largest candy store in Jordan, Minnesota, open up 2.5 or 3 weeks earlier than the rest of you because he deemed them essential. Why? Because it's his buddy. And you dumbasses went and voted for him anyway. That's how fucking stupid people are. And I'm not even sorry I'm saying it that way. People are like, oh, you're mad and you're not being nice. You know what? I'm done being fucking nice to you people. All you have done is voted your feelings your whole life. You don't vote facts. You vote your feelings. You don't take 1 second to go and research a candidate. You don't remember shit, obviously. I'm just going to associate that with having the vaccine because I guarantee you 99% of you went and took the vaccine like a good little sheep. Well, I'm done with it, bullshit. And I'm going to call each and every one of you out every fucking time from now on because I'm tired of it. I am forced, me, you, everybody is forced to live in your madness, your circus world. I don't want to live in there. You look at the state map of Minnesota, it's 95% red, and where's the blue at? Rochester and the Minneapolis metro area and the Iron Range. And the Iron Range, that one's another one I don't get either in Minnesota. You literally just voted against yourselves. Like they're getting rid of your jobs, and you just voted for him. What? Why? What are you thinking? Are you really, literally that brainwashed? I don't get it. But okay, let me just take a deep breath. Okay, let's get to Colorado. Daryl, you ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado along with Danielle Neuschlanger. Yeah, I want to bring up one thing. Colorado District number 3 with Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert is actually leading right now by a little over 1,000 votes with, I believe, 90... Let me look. I want to say 98%, 98% or 99% reporting. that's a huge race. 98%
yeah.
reporting. She is winning by approximately 1,136. Yeah, she's winning by 0.4%. So, but she was behind, and right away, Adam Frisch and the Democratic Party got on. Lauren Boebert gets beaten in Colorado. Well, let's hold on a second. Now, I don't think that race is over, 98% reported. A sane man would think that people would vote for Lauren Boebert. She's very vocal, and she stands up for freedom, and she stands up for
yep.
the Constitution. She might not be your cup of tea, and that's okay. She don't have to be. But respect the fact that she is actually standing up to defend and protect your Constitution. The Democratic Party are a bunch of tyrants. Anyway, I want to go on to Daryl. What was your experience there in Colorado running for the governorship, lieutenant governor with Daniel Neuschwanger? And you guys got – you didn't fare well, and we know why. Jared Polis had pretty much a walk-away victory, 57.4% of the vote, Democrat. Colorado is mainly Democrat. Heidi Ganahl, is that how you pronounce her name, or Ganahl?
Yeah.
Ganahl?
Yeah, Ganahl.
Yeah, yeah. She had 40% of the votes. You and Danielle, the American Constitution Party, you ended up getting 0.9% of the votes, 19,915 votes. How do you feel that election went? And when I ask you that, I'm going to lead you into a question. What were you
okay.
missing in Colorado that you probably would have fared better if you were involved with? And I'll just let you explain what happened in Colorado and what's happening all across the country about everybody that's running, and they're not allowed to be involved with certain things. So go ahead.
Well, I would say number one is fairness, you know, because like I said, there's five gubernatorial candidates that was running, and the only people you heard was two, and it was purposely done. Because the Republican Party, they're very scared of the unaffiliated. Because the Republican Party, if they fall down to a certain threshold, they are now a minority. And then the Constitution Party, they end up being one of the majority. And so, you know, the people that I've talked to, that they're happy that we ran. And I have no regrets. None. It's just unfortunate that you have a system that is built where it's not fair at all. Is it free election? Yeah, almost anybody can go ahead and put in a ballot, but was it fair? No, it wasn't. You know, I'm sorry that, you know, you have a Secretary of State who sits back, calls out, you know, I'm not a Teeter Peters fan. I'm not going to sit up and say I am. But when she calls somebody out like that on her commercial, but then she doesn't even have her shit together. You know, it's pretty messed up. Basically, on her words, she said, I will make sure that the voices are heard from the Republican Party, Democratic Party, and Independent. Well, she made sure that the Republican and the Democratic parties was heard, but not the Independent, and which was unfortunate. And I had a lot of people who said, you know what, this is for them, they didn't even feel like this was an election. They're like, this is just something that was forced down our throat. If they really want to be true with the elections, what they need to do is this. Have it if you're going to have a real Secretary of State, and thank God that we didn't have enough votes for Danielle and me being there, because if we were, I tell you this much, the Secretary of State, her ass would be on the line right now because of the shit that she pulled. There's no way we should have Dominion machines. Two, everybody's voices need to be heard. Whoever is running, even though she may not be able to do something, at least she should step back and said, look, you know, news media and the rest of you knuckleheads, everybody needs to be heard. We're going to have 4 weeks where we're going to have once a week, we're going to have all five people speak so that everybody in Colorado gets to hear who they are. And then after that, we're going to start voting. you don't vote, you don't start voting when you have debates going on. And then most of the debates was, you have one with Polis and Heidi, but the other three were left out. And then the other time, they're debating themselves. Polis is debating himself, and Heidi is debating herself. And so with that, I mean, I'm just like, you know, I got to see how some people are very, very ruthless. And what I'm saying is this, you know, and I'm not going to mention any names, but in the Republican Party, and there's groups in the Republican Party, one of the things that was so pathetic is that everybody knows that Danielle is a rancher. Everybody knows that. You know, the Republican Party has been knowing that she's a rancher. But then you got some scumbag and some scumbag agencies that are in the Republican Party that come out and says that she is not a rancher, that is all fake. But not one person up there in the Republican Party that's in that group that knew who was saying that turned around and stood up and said, you know what, enough is enough. That's bullshit. You know, and for people to sit back and say, politics is a blood sport. Politics is not a blood sport. It doesn't have to be. You have people who choose to make it a blood sport. And one thing I will say about Danielle and our campaign, we weren't compromised. We didn't turn around and did some serious mudslinging to people, and we came back with facts. The funny thing is, they can sit back and they can talk about Danielle all they want, but not one of them say, hey, let's talk about her policies, because her policies were on point. And that's the problem that we have when a lot of these people are running. You know, we don't talk about their policies. We're too busy saying, oh, what did they do 7 years ago? Or what did they do 3 years ago? Who gives a shit? What's the policies is? Because when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of the GOP, they didn't even like Heidi. They didn't want her being, they're like, she is not our champion. But yet, they turn around, and if Danielle, because Danielle and Heidi been at it before, and Danielle, she destroyed Heidi every time. But yet, then you have people that turn around and who was patting Danielle on the back, all of a sudden, just like they did Trump, hey, Caesar, turn your back. Let's stab the crap out of you. And it's sad that it happened that way. And it's sad that you have people that is in the Republican Party that are turned into freaking disrespectful savages like that. And I hope that when they sit back, they look at themselves, after all that crap that they did, it didn't help them any. She still got her butt stomped by Polis. Even though we didn't fare out well, but you know what? I'm proud that the people that voted for us, I want to say thank you very much. Because there's a lot of people that sat back, and they're like, you know what? If it wasn't for you two, we wouldn't have got involved in what we did. And so with that in mind, I'm so glad that I did. But, man, you're talking about some people that are dirty. I mean, even we had and I'm going to call their asses out right now, Black Pack. You know, they first sponsored Danielle and I because they understood what we stood for. But then all of a sudden at the end, right a couple of days before the voting started, then all of a sudden they went to Heidi. And so I asked them, I said, so why did you switch over? And, oh, well, we switched over because it seemed like they have a better chance of winning. And I paused and I said, wait a minute. You switched over and you didn't even ask. They said, you turn around and you knew what I stood for. You knew what Danielle stood for. We stood for this great big thing of changing Colorado, helping us the immigration, the way $500 for a form. You got the immigration lawyers come out $10,000 each time somebody comes in, which is unnecessary because these are the poorest people. We have a gentrification of our neighborhoods, but yet you're going to go with someone that really didn't say any of that, and they're not going for that because you think they have a better chance of winning. Why don't you just call yourself a daggone Republican super PAC? You know, we have lost the point of when somebody will shake your hand and says, hey, this is a deal, we got your back. That's what you're supposed to do. I still feel that way, yeah. But it's unfortunate we got a lot of people that does not. And until the Republican Party gets their shit together, especially our leader, the leadership in the Republican Party, they're not going to win hardly shit. And that's what's going on here in Colorado. I hate to say it like that, because you have people that are in, that you have people that are Republicans, but definitely they are Democrats. You have a lot of independents that saying they're independents, but I'm wondering if they're truly independent. And when you have the assemblies should have, you know, you have your Democratic assembly, you have your Republican assembly, then you also should have an independent assembly. They should, none of us should intervene with any of them. And we have a lot of cleaning up to do. But then at the same time,
yeah, absolutely.
We as
nationwide.
People, we have yeah, nationwide. And we as people, we need to clean up our shit. Because you have the Republicans, they're doing the same thing. They're crying about the Democrats sitting back saying, well, we're going to ostracize you, and we're going to make sure that you're silent. And you have the Republicans yelling, you can't do that. But then they turn around, and they do the same thing to the independents. And I'm just like,
yeah.
When are you going to start stepping up and saying, you know what, we're going to lead by example? Until then, it's going to be hard for us to get anywhere. And we're going to have this vicious circle of we're just going to be self-imploding.
Here's the thing that people need to understand. Politics is one of the dirtiest games in the history of dirtiest games. They will turn on you. There is no loyalty in politics. They will turn on you in a New York second. They're ruthless. They're dirty on both sides, Republican and Democrat. And me and Chris were, you know, involved with the People's Convoy. With the beginning planning of it, and both Chris and I respectfully bowed out, more so because some of the people that were brought in as time went on, unbeknownst to us, they were dirty. They were dirty, and I don't know. I can't speak for Brian or Mike or any of those guys. What happened? I'm not going to make assumptions, but there's a lot of assumptions flying around that they took a payout, and I don't want to get into that whole drama with that bullshit again, because I just want to be left alone. I'm not going to be involved with anything anymore. After that whole fiasco, I've seen how dirty people are, including people that you think are your friends or think that, no, nobody has loyalty to you. Nobody. And if you do find loyalty and you, like, truly find loyalty, hold on to that tight and bend over backwards for that person. But I want to bring
up something. Well, I was going to tell, on that, what I was going to tell you is,
we're winding down here, though, Daryl. I got to get this up. We only got a few minutes. I'm sorry, brother.
All right, it's okay.
I'll give you, like, 3 minutes at the end here to say what you got to say. But I want to make sure Chris is able to get on here and share his final thoughts and stuff. But I want to remind everybody that with the pandemic, or with the voting, I'm sorry, the voting, number one, you all forgot about the Afghanistan withdrawal and 13 troops left to die. And one of those troops, his brother, actually committed suicide at the memorial service in California for his brother. So let's just count 14, because I'm going to loop him in with the other 13. You forgot about that. You by you voting for the people that you voted for, it was a big middle finger in the face of America. That's what it was. It was a big middle finger that you don't give a shit about the lives sacrificed in Afghanistan. Second of all, for nearly 2 years. You got live updates of COVID deaths on news. Live updates for 2 years. But we can't count the fucking ballots in one day?
Don't even
go there. You're brainwashed if you can't see what's going on here. Now, this is the new norm since 2020. Trump wasn't lying to you. We're not lying to you. If they can count deaths nationwide and worldwide every single day and plaster it on your news 24/7, you best believe they can count the votes in one fucking day. That's what I got to say, Chris. I'll leave it to you, my brother.
Well, yeah, that's a definitely a good point. You know, what is it? Dancing with the Stars. You know, they're able to get all those votes and, you know, tabulate them over a commercial break. You know, so. But, you know, obviously that's a different system. That's not as secure, whatever, but still valid. There's no reason that we have to drag the voting process itself out over several weeks and then drag the vote counting process out several more weeks. It all seems like they're just building in systems for being able to control the outcome, to get the outcomes that they want. What was it, Stalin that said, you know, the something to the effect of, you know, the power lies with who counts the votes or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm definitely skeptical of it, and I do think we need to get back to a system of, okay, here's voting day, and that's the day we all go out and vote, and get back to hand counting them with witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got to bring back the election integrity and the confidence in election integrity, because we've seen this around the world many times. It doesn't matter if there's actually fraud taking place or not. As soon as you have massive numbers of people believing that fraud is taking place, that's when you have civil wars. Whether the fraud is taking place or not, the people, because in their mind, if they suspect fraud, they think that fraud is happening. They do not trust your election results. They now think you're imposing a dictatorship on them. Whether that's happening or not, that is what people believe. And you get enough people believing that in numbers, and trouble happens. Bullets start flying. People start dying. And we want to avoid that. So whether these elections are being rigged or not, really not even the point. We have to get back to a system where people at least have the faith in the system that it's not happening. And that's my take on that.
So what do you want to share any final thoughts before we go over to Daryl for his final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Let them fly. No, I'll try to be.
You got to look at it that way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.
Well, you know what? Actually, a quick follow-up. You know, my daughter was injured a couple weeks ago. She's been released by the NCAA. She actually came back, was able to play in the conference championship game against the same team that took her out. They did win that game, but she did manage to get kicked in the face in the second half by that team again and got pulled out for the last part of the game. But she did block the kick on that one, and she walked off the field laughing after getting her face pretty severely injured. But they're in the big tournament now, the big NCAA tournament, the top 32 teams starting tomorrow. So we'll see how far they can advance here in the big dance.
That's awesome. It's good news for your daughter, and we surely. I was telling you earlier on the phone, that girl has got spirit. She's got soul. She's got heart. And we wish her nothing but the best. That's a girl that's going to go places in life. She laughed it off. She didn't get angry. She didn't attack anybody. She just laughed it off and walked off the field.
She's
go America right there.
That's cool.
She's going to go to the ER, literally.
Yeah, right.
Because she is a nursing student.
Yeah.
But they won.
No, she.
They won.
Mm-hmm. She, you know, it's more importantly, not only did they win, she won. She won over the same team that tried to take her out, gave her a concussion. She come back, and she blocked her shot, and they kicked her in the face again and broke her nose this time, and she won. She got up. She walked away. She laughed. Yeah, she may be a little bit hurt physically, but she won. Her team didn't win. She won. I mean, her team
won. She owned them.
That attitude right there, I mean, she literally owned. You know how angry those girls went home that lost? Geez, I tried everything I could do to stop her. She's unstoppable. Yeah. You just fucked with the wrong person. Good on her, man.
Well, hell yeah.
Before we get to you, Daryl, I just want to remind everybody, it's just kind of a recap of the show. I get a little, you know, sometimes I get a little up in the air, I get a little frustrated, I get a little angry. But there's one thing I promise you that I'll never do. I'll never intentionally lie to you. I'll never intentionally steer you in the wrong direction. And I encourage everybody that anything that me, Chris, or Daryl say, to go and research it for yourself, which I know a lot of our listeners are the types that will actually go do that. But the ones that we really would love to get this message to are the ones that voted for the Democratic Party this time. And I'm not saying when I say you voted for the Democratic Party, you should vote for Republican. No. Just don't vote for the Democratic Party. And in certain areas of the country, I've got a friend in Ohio that voted Democrats because he's tired of the Republican Mike DeWine, I think it's Mike DeWine, as governor out there and the corruptness with the Republican Party. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Republican Party ain't equally as corrupt as the Democratic Party, because they are. What I am going to tell you, though, is that certain policies that the Democrats have with America Last is not working for America. And until we fix America, there's no way we can fix the rest of the world. And Joe Biden said it himself numerous times that there's a new world order coming. Joe Biden's compromised. Justin Trudeau is compromised. America and Canada are in the same boat. And any of you dumb motherfuckers that call freedom, free D-U-M-B, screw you. You have zero respect for your respective countries, or zero respect for the people that have died before you, or zero respect for the people that are currently standing up for you. You are the cancer of both these countries, Canada and America. You liberal nutbags. That's what you are. On that note, I want Daryl to finish up with his final thought, and then I will come back in with a brief 1-minute dialogue, and then we will end episode number 55 of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And remember, folks, please share this out with all your friends and family. Let them know. They got something to say. If it's a vaccine injury, if a vaccine death, injustice with your child, I don't care what it is. Whatever your issue is, this is your program to get on here live, uncensored, and talk about the things that you want to get out. I want you to be able to get the message out that mainstream media and social media won't allow you to get out. I will allow you to get it out here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. On that note, Daryl, go ahead and give us your final thoughts.
Oh, and don't forget, we're on Spotify, too.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, for one, I want to say personally, thank you for everyone who voted for Danielle and I. I really appreciate you. There's a lot of people who are loyal. We gained a lot of people from different parties because they're looking at us as an individual. They're not saying, oh, well, we're going to get you because you're an independent. No, they heard what we're about. And you people, you got to start voting for what these people stand for. Because the things I stand for, Danielle stands for, we've been saying this since the beginning. I haven't wavered from what I've said, and I'm serious. I will stand up and fight for the state of Colorado and the people for Colorado against a bunch of corruptness. And I'll figure out some way to get back into this game because I'm not going nowhere. I just want to tell all these people thank you. But the way we need to stop this stuff, I ain't saying that voting for a Democrat or voting for a Republican or whatever. Start voting for the people. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to their voice. See if they're really going to stand up and fight for you, or if they're just saying stuff that's bluff, just your regular bluff political crap. And the things that everybody been saying that Chris and Jeremy was saying, you know what, people, we're speaking from the heart. There's no bullshit with us. If you stop any of us out in the street, we will tell you exactly how we feel. But at the same time, we'll respect you. We may not agree with what you say, but we will respect that you at least came up and talked to us, and that you were, and we were able to talk as human beings, as adults with each other. No, well, you're prejudiced because I don't agree with you, or this and that. You know, that's what he's saying. This is what we have to get back to, people. That's why I love being on this show. I love being with Chris and Jeremy and Chris's daughter. Damn right. You tell, if I was there, I'd give her a big hug, because you know what? That's G.I. Jane right there. That's G.I. Jane material right there. And people, this is what we got to start doing. That's how we start making things great. We cannot, again, we cannot be voting for R or for a D. We got to start voting for people. And I think this is where we slipped up in Colorado. We got too hung up and beaten up on each other instead of looking at the people. But, again, that's the fault of the state. That's the fault of our leadership, because our leadership sucks. And our news media, you should be ashamed of yourself, because you're part of this downfall. You're part of this corruption. Maybe someday somebody will get some balls and say, and look at people and say, you know what? The next time, we're going to start broadcasting everyone and let their voices be heard so that everyone in Colorado will be heard. Other than that, dude, I'm good. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be with you guys, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to run for lieutenant governor with Danielle, running for governor for the state of Colorado, and the applause that I get and the people that said thank you. I appreciate you from here in this state and all the states that everybody have met me in my big old black, red and white Peterbilt. I thank you, too. I thank everyone, and I appreciate y'all. Love you.
Hey, thanks, Daryl. I appreciate it, and we sure enjoy the addition of you on the Disrespected Trucker radio show. It happens to be that Daryl, Chris, and myself are all truckers. We just have different lifestyles. Daryl, well, he run for lieutenant governor. Chris, he's an outlaw biker. And I'm just a guy that stands up for what he believes in, and whether that be in the trucking industry or human rights. You know, you mentioned something about before you got off there, Daryl, that the media is the enemy of the people, basically. And I agree with that. The media truly is the enemy of the people. I want to bring up one quick story before we go for the night. The Gateway Pundit, Jordan Conradson and Ben Bergwam from Real America's Voice, they were physically removed from the Maricopa County presser on Thursday afternoon and were escorted out and followed by drones. These are two media outlets that actually do speak the truth. Like I've studied them and researched them, and I can assure you that those are actually two of the few true media sources. When you get kicked out of a presser in Maricopa County, and then the left media sources and the mainstream media sources are they're okay. We got a problem in this country, way bigger than what you guys could imagine. And I'm just trying to warn you. Chris is just trying to warn you. Daryl's just trying to warn you. We're trying to get the truth out there, because as soon as we get enough people to fight back against this shit, the sooner we're going to fix it. Please, I'm begging you, share us out so we can get a little bit bigger. And just when you share us out, let them know. Let your family, let your friends know. Hey, go pick out the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Spotify. When you're driving down the road, all of their episodes are on Spotify. You can listen to any one of them at any given time. then tomorrow, Kim will have this episode downloaded. Every Friday, our previous episode will be downloaded. The latest and newest episode. You can add us to your favorites, share us out, and we can help spread the truth. And when there's something that I didn't know about or we didn't know about, like the gentleman from Canada that called in earlier and told us about numerous things, that's how we get the truth out, by spreading it with on platforms like this. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say, you know what, thank you so much for listening to our radio show, our broadcast every single week. I know we have loyal listeners, and from the bottom of our heart, thank you. By no means are we professionals at anything except for, you know, I don't know, nothing. Really, we're just people that love this country. That's all we are. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Disrespected Trucker radio show, Uncensored, number 55. And we will see you next Thursday night. Chris, Daryl, Kim, love you guys. Thank you all for your contributions to this radio show. Everybody have a good night. God bless each and every one of you.